There is an untold number of writers in the world. A few achieve fame and wealth, inspire scholars and book groups, but most write and publish quietly. Our critic Alan Chews has been thinking about their legacy.
My dear fiction and poetry writing, larger-than-life friend George Garrett is not a household name. He often jokes about the possibility that when he dies, he'll be buried in what he laughingly calls the tomb of the unknown writer. This past year, that's where a number of writers from around the world were laid to rest. Despite a solid stack of serious fiction and poetry, the lights of most of these wonderful artists blinked out without many readers taking notice, which is undoubtedly the way most writers are going to go, whether well-known in their lifetime or not. Most of their work is never going to be taken up by many readers after they're gone. Norman Mailer, in his 80s now and just as brilliant as ever, recently put forward what he called the 30-year rule of thumb. We have to wait at least 30 years after a writer's death, Mailer suggests, to see if his or her reputation has truly lived on. Well, here's the role of many of those who went in 2004, although by its nature incomplete. Early in the year, novelists John Gregory Dunn and William Herrick. New Zealand's finest novelists, both in the same year, Janet Frame and Morris Shadbolt. A last exit to Brooklyn for fiction writer Hubert Selby, Jr. Historian and former Librarian of Congress Daniel Boorstin. History writers William Manchester and Iris Chang. Children's book writer Paula Danziger. Experimental novelist Ronald Sukenik, once a pal of mine. Recently, Larry Brown, novelist. Lucia Berlin, Noel Perrin. Bestsellers Olivia Goldsmith and Arthur Haley. Mystery writer Joseph Hansen. Francois Sagan. Bernice Rubens. And poets. Oh, the poets keep tumbling out of this world. Donald Justice, Anthony Hecht, Tom Gunn, Carl Riccosi, Mona Van Dyne, Jackson McLowe, and sooner or later, the names of all my writer friends will be added to this list. My own name will be added. Listen to my friend George Garrett read his poem, Anthologies, and our fates will become all too clear.
Anthologies. Not only the pleasures of dust, of dry, stained pages, and the out-of-date card that proves nobody has even checked this one out in a decade, and not more than half a dozen times in my lifetime. Jean Durwood, Lloyd Frankenberg, Alfred Hayes, Coman Leavenworth, John Thompson, Jr. But also all of these names and so many more, not really forgotten, but not to be found either anywhere else, but here in the stacks on shelves where Robinson's darkest inches preserve the anonymous dignity of the unfamous. Maria Zadarenska, Cale Young Rice, H. Phelps Putnam, William Ellery Leonard, Alfred Kremborg. And one great secret is simply this, how taken together, cheek by jowl, these people, these poets, are often so much alike in form and substance, and more democratic in excellence and virtue than anyone might have otherwise imagined. Madeline Gleason, Robert Horan, Myron O'Higgins, Byron Vazakis. But what of all the infamous others, ourselves, I mean, still alive and on fire and in love with the taste of words and the making of poems? Who will come here afterward to blow the dust away and disturb the peace and oblivion we have earned? Fred Chappell, Kelly Cherry, R.H.W. Dillard, Brendan Galvin, David Slavitt, Henry Taylor, George Garrett.
A poem from George Garrett, who lives in Charlottesville, Virginia. His friend and our book reviewer, Alan Chews, teaches writing at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia.